Look out, everybody, we're coming your way. It don't matter if you're black, white, straight, or gay. However you identify, is it okay? If you're down with us, let me hear you say, la 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 la, la 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 la, let me hear you say, la 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 la, la 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 la, love. What's up, y'all?
What's up, y'all?
My name is Manchild Black.
And my name is Monster Black.
And together, we are the Illustrious Blacks. And you are on air with the Blacks.
Yes.
Yes, and we are on listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM, for our debut show.
Yay!
Yay! What's up, everybody?
Hey.
Well, first off, Monster Black, we should tell the people who we are, right?
Yeah, I guess we should.
So, Monster Black, who are you?
Well, I was born a little white girl in Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia.
You know what, Monster, maybe I should do this introduction. The Illustrious Blacks, we are an electro-funk music duo based in the magical land of Brooklyn. And we've been legally married for 2 years
now. 2 years.
Perhaps 2 years too many, but we are nonetheless married. And we are so excited to be on WBAI 99.5 FM. Thank you to everyone involved here at the station, Jeannie Hopper, Reggie Johnson, and the list goes on and on.
Yes.
And be sure to also follow us, Monster Black and Manchild Black. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere you can. And on Twitter are the two blacks, the number two blacks
on yes. Twitter.
And right now, to start off the show, we're going to have a little bit of chit-chat. Yes, chit-chat. This is where we discuss pop culture and things happening around the world that we care about and that you should care about.
A little bit of chit-chat.
Chit-chat. Well, first off, we got to say a big congrats to the actress Viola Davis.
Yes. Congrats, yes. Viola Davis.
For making history by becoming the first black woman to win the Emmy for Best Actress in a Drama. And she gave an awesome speech.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it was incredible. She quoted Harriet Tubman. And one of the things she said in the speech, she said, the only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. And that you cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there. She was speaking her truth.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, she was definitely speaking her truth.
Well, I guess that wasn't good enough for some people, because this woman, she's an actress from General Hospital. Her name is Nancy Lee Grand. Decided to go on Twitter and say, I think she's the bee's knees, but she's elite of TV performers. Brilliant as she is, she has never been discriminated against.
So, I mean, the real issue I have with her statement is, who says bee's knees?
Well, that's true. In this day and age, who says bee's knees? That's the real issue, Monster Black. That's the issue I got from her statement. No, the real issue is that, you know, how are you going to say this woman has never been discriminated against when she has gone on record many a time to tell about her trials and tribulations as being a black actress in Hollywood? Like, how do you diminish her credibility by saying she has never been discriminated against?
Right.
Well, Twitter lit her up, and Nancy has since apologized for her statements. But Nancy, You know, we have a stadium. We have a stadium here in Brooklyn called the Barclays Center. And you may have every seat in it.
Every single seat.
I think a lot of white feminist women forget that there are levels to discrimination. If you're a white female, you may not understand that there are black women who have another level of discrimination on top of the fact that they're women.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's a lesbian, and there's also the sexual orientation discrimination on top of that. So I think that people like Nancy really need to be more inclusive of what they consider to be when they consider themselves to be feminist.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on it, you know. And you said something too that I thought. Was funny.
Well, you know, I think that Nancy bears a strong resemblance to Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, you know, when I looked at her photo, I thought to myself, this woman looks familiar.
And so that's why.
I got to look at her picture again, but you may be right. But anyway, so if that wasn't enough, Roland Emmerich. This is the man behind the disaster films Independence Day and The Day After Tomorrow. Well, apparently he has another disaster film about to drop. It's called Stonewall.
Mm.
And both Gawker and Vanity Fair have early reviews of the film and basically say it's a whitewashed film that depicts the start of the LGBT liberation movement that trans women of color and lesbians were at the forefront of. So I'd like to know, Roland, how do you take this historical event and basically put the people of color on the sidelines? Like, I don't get it.
I don't get that either at all.
So I don't understand that. I don't think I'll be watching this movie, but I don't know. I don't know. I think it's appalling that someone like Marsha P. Johnson, a trans woman of color, and Sylvia Rivera are reduced to minor roles in favor of a cis white straight male gay male lead character. Don't you agree? What do you think, Monster?
What do I think? Well, I think the solution is to have the Marsha P. Johnson's character become the lead so that Viola Davis can play her.
Oh, boy. So anyway, between those two stories, at the end of today's program, we're going to give what we like to call the side eye.
The side eye.
And that is, we're going to pick the person we think has committed the most egregious offense to pop culture this week. And in this case, it's a battle between Nancy Legrand for her comments about Viola Davis and Roland Emmerich for whitewashing the Stonewall film. So let us know who you think should get the side eye, and we'll take that into consideration, and we'll decide that and let you know at the end of the day
show
who gets the side eye. You can tweet us at The2Blacks on Twitter, and that's the number 2Blacks on Twitter. Right now, we want to share with you an interview that I conducted last week with one of the partners in Afropunk, Jocelyn Cooper. So let's give you that interview right about now.
With the Blacks on WBAI 99.5 FM. And joining us right now via phone is the illustrious Jocelyn Cooper, who is a partner of the Afropunk Festival. Hey, Jocelyn.
How you doing, man child? What a lovely, lovely introduction. Thank you.
Well, you are illustrious, just so you know.
I like that word.
Well, welcome to the show. First of all, I gotta say congrats to you and Matthew for all the success that's been happening around the Afropunk Festival.
Thank you so much.
It's dope to see the growth and in the community that you guys are building. It's amazing.
We work really hard for the community, so it's nice to hear you appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen y'all at work firsthand, so I know what's going into it. And yeah. You're about to do your first ever Afropunk in Atlanta.
We are. We're going to be in the ATL. We are in the ATL, actually. I'm back in New York for the day.
Okay.
But we relocated down there, and our whole staff is down in Atlanta.
Nice.
And we are getting ready for October 3rd and 4th in a park called Central Park.
Nice.
And D'Angelo's headlining, and... Flying yes. Lotus and yes. Santi Gold and
yes.
Tyler the Creator and Danny Brown and Big Freedia, and it's going to be a big old beautiful party, and we've got all of the pieces of the festival that we do in New York. Uh-huh. New York, there's going to be some great live painting, live art down there, and some art installations, beautiful food. We've got a couple of surprises that are happening.
Uh-oh. So
it's a gonna be a good old time.
That's...
And we're also doing a lot of lead up events.
Okay.
We're doing a film screening series called Race Music. And we have a pop up shop
uh-huh.
that we are doing, selling our merchandise and our collaborations with Fresh IM, who are a local, well actually they're pretty well known, but a group of urban streetwear designers, and Julie Beck from Paris.
Yes, I know them.
That we did with him.
I love their work, actually. Tell me about Race Music?
Race Music.
Yeah.
The series, we love documentaries at Afropunk. Because, you know, Afropunk started as a documentary that Matthew Morgan, my partner, produced.
Right.
And from that, we feature a lot of documentaries on Afropunk.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have produced a couple outside of Afropunk, the film, the original film. We produced a series called The Triptych.
Yes.
Around visual artists of color with Mutu.
I love that. Loved it.
Yeah. Thank you. We've worked very hard on that and want to continue that. But the series in Atlanta is a James Brown documentary that is called Mr. Dynamite, that is just amazing. And, you know, I don't think I was fully aware of his full history.
Yes.
And how much of an impact he had. I knew how much of an impact he had on culture, but I didn't understand the impact that he had on politics, and I didn't know his complete background. I think some of us just have seen, you know, the Living in America, Ronald Reagan, you know, Nixon, James Brown.
Right.
And this story talks about how, you know, my man just shook up America.
I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Yeah, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Yes.
You know, and we're also screening What Happened, Miss Simone, the Nina Simone documentary.
Yes.
And there's a new Black Panther documentary, Black Panther, The Vanguard. So it's a series of, I think, poignant films
mm-hmm.
that speak to the history of where we are culturally. And we're also, you know, it wouldn't be Afropunk without having a party. So we're going to have some nice little drinkies.
Amen.
Sponsored by Hendrix and Dos Equis, and a nice DJ set afterwards. So it'll be,
we're
going to have a James Brown throwdown.
I'm so mad I'm going to miss this. Oh, my gosh. Female.
You should come. Come to Atlanta.
Let me see. If I'm not working... Let me see. So what's the energy like right now in ATL around the festival? And do you feel it's any different from the New York and the Paris? Because you've done Paris this year as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're all different. New York is New York, and Brooklyn is Brooklyn.
Yes.
The interesting thing about us, you know, and sort of now with the earned ticket and with the ability to actually sell a ticket, we know where people are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So in New York, you know, I think it's almost 40% of the folks that come to the festival come from outside of of New York.
Wow.
So that energy and people wanting to come to New York is part of the New York Festival. But Atlanta is a southern town. And, you know, the idea for us, you know, around community and building community is to make sure that that community is a big part of what we do. And the reason that we're in Atlanta is because the Atlanta community wanted us to come. And the great thing about, you know, Atlanta for me is like the capital of the South. So, you know, folks from Charlotte or New Orleans or Nashville, you know, all come to Atlanta. So it's going to be a big old Afro-punk Southern, you know, party, family reunion, so to speak. That's what it's about for us. So there's that element. So that energy is different. I think the way that folks, you know, there's nothing like Afropunk for them there.
Right.
But the history of alternative artists and culture in Atlanta, for me, it's almost like that's where Afropunk should have started. You know, they are far more on some level adventurous, far more, you know, they think outside of the box in ways that we don't do in New York. Maybe it comes from having, you know, a lot of space or warmth or, you know.
Interesting.
There's a lot of richness there. And there's a lot of rich history. I mean, where we are, our pop-up shop is right in the middle of the historic civil rights area.
Oh, you know, that's perfect.
It's around the corner from Ebenezer Baptist Church. It's around the corner from where Dr. King is buried. The richness and the history of, you know, of our people is there. We're you know, we feel that energy there.
Wow. I'm so glad you're going to be there. That's amazing.
And right now, we're going to have a little music for you. This is Quabs with My Own on WBAI 99.5 FM.
To me, I got you now. I won't give up. Never let you down. Let's get it straight. It's time to choose. I came to play. Don't play to lose. Cause it looks to me like you need any change. I got the key. Let you out the cage. But I want you all for my own.
Now, let's take it back. Can we go back in time?
Was I there?
Because I want to start with your background, because you've been in the music industry for a long time. Did you start?
60 years.
Wait, how long?
I said 60 years. No,
I'm you're not even. Please.
I know.
If that was the case, you'd be a really hot-looking 60-year-old.
That's what I want to be.
But
like Grace Jones.
Like Grace Jones. Oh, you know we're going to talk about Grace before you get off the phone. Let's start. Because you started out, were you managing at first, managing artists? Or
I actually started, you know, right when I graduated from college. I worked at a recording studio, and then I was an assistant at a record company. And literally a year out of college, I landed a job at Warner Chappell Music Publishing.
Nice.
One of the biggest music publishing companies in the country, in the world. And I started my career in music publishing.
Okay.
I worked there for a couple of years and then started my own music publishing company. And the first artist that I signed was D'Angelo. So...
That's quite a way to start.
Well, he's a writer, yeah.
That's pretty auspicious.
it was, he's one of the most amazing talents in the planet for me, and he's my friend, and I'm just so happy for him.
Yes.
That he has, you know, he is, you know, challenging the world. He's making his statements. He, you know, he keeps going. And I'm so excited that he's going to be headlining Atlanta.
Wow.
With the Vanguard, because he's obviously in New York, headlined New York, and did a, you know, an amazing Afropunk set for New York. But
yes,
he's bringing the full energy of D'Angelo and the Vanguard to Atlanta. So.
I was there last year when he headlined. That was a phenomenal set. When he did Prince's Was it Always in My Hair?
She's Always in My Hair.
Oh my God. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, anyway.
You know, the number of covers that he's done is, he really is one of the most brilliant arrangers. People don't ever, like, say that about him, but he's amazing. Amazing. Anyway.
Can you please tell him Man-Child Black said thank you for that album?
I will.
Like, seriously.
I surely will.
I was so happy when that was released, and just happy to have his return, because he was sorely missed. Sorely missed.
Yeah. And there's more to come, by the way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll be waiting. Come on, D'Angelo. but what I want to... Go ahead, you first.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you did. So from D'Angelo, I went on to run the A&R department for Universal Records for 10 years. And then I took a break and started running L.A. Reid's Music Publishing Company for a couple of years, a company called Hicca. And then I met Matthew Morgan.
And what year was that?
Oh, I don't even know. I'm horrible with dates, but maybe 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
Okay.
When I met him, he started talking to me about Afropunk, because I didn't know, and I hadn't seen the film.
Mm-hmm.
And he started talking about all the amazing musicians that were a part of the community and that were on the site. And I started, you know, he started pointing out sort of the cultural shift and things that were happening. And it was, you know, I got really turned on by it and really excited to be a part of it. So we started, you know, we partnered on the festival, what, 5 years ago, and have grown it now to, you know, we have almost 60,000 people that come out in Brooklyn.
That is amazing. So Afropunk itself was founded in 2002. Is that correct? Around then?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when people say it was founded, you know, the film came out. So the film is, in my mind, very different than the actual sort of business of Afropunk and the community of Afropunk.
Right.
It was very organic, and I think that really 5 years ago is when, you know, Matthew had the shift that said, okay, let's really try to amplify what we've been doing. When it was more of a passion project as opposed to a conscious decision to be the platform and to be more inclusive. I mean, I think it always had been from the beginning, but it was definitely way more conscious.
When you say more inclusive, do you mean in terms of other musical styles or in other communities within the Black culture, within Black culture, or?
I think it all of that.
Okay.
You know, I think originally it was about the film, and the film itself was. Matthew had a partner, and that was more of a narrow sort of definition, originally. And Matthew, as someone who is, you know, Caribbean and mixed race, and, you know, comes from a European background, had a very different feeling and sensibility about what Afropunk was then than his partner did. And 5 years ago, I think, you know, Matthew decided and made that conscious decision that he was going to focus on his vision of what Afropunk was.
I got it. You know,
and, you know, because of my corporate background, I think, you know, I sprinkled a little major headliner in there every now
right.
and again, you know?
Right. Well, I remember, so I'll say this, Monster's not here with me on air at this very moment, but I'll say this. When he first moved to New York, I was already here in New York, right? And mm-hmm. he was looking for a community of kind of alternative slash punk slash black slash just like he was into Bad Brains and into Fishbone and into all of that. And so he asked me one time if that community existed in New York. And I was like, mm-hmm. man, I don't think so. You know, I was more of the bohemian, boho chic, you know, into that whole neo-soul thing at the time. So I didn't know anything about, I mean, I knew who Bad Brains and Fishbone were, of course, but I didn't follow them like that. So right. then he said that to me, and I said, no, I don't think so. And then maybe a month later, he discovered Afropunk the film. And that James Spooner directed and Matthew produced, right? Co-produced.
Correct.
And we went and saw it on the Intrepid, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And we were really blown away, one, by not only the film itself and the artists that were depicted in the film, but also by the community of people that were there. And yeah. so for Monster, and I think I can speak on his behalf, it was really life-changing for him and also for me, because even though I don't consider myself a punk in the traditional sense, you know, mm-hmm. I just, you know, I have an appreciation for that music and that style. But I greatly appreciated just a platform for black people who were considered on the fringe, so to speak,
right.
you know, who were thinking outside the box and the DIY whole thing. You know, I really appreciated that. And it really meant, it still does mean a lot to us. So I want to say that to you as well. Thank you for continuing that. I know, you know, it's changed, but it's great that you guys have continued it. And so with the changes, I know, like, this is the first year in New York, at least, that you've charged, right? Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what brought about that change?
Well, you know, the festival itself cannot sustain itself. And, you know, Afropunk is a business with a free model.
Right.
And, you know, the idea of having the community support art, to support culture, has always been the idea of, you know, the platform, whether it's in, you know, audience or, it, you know, there's a value to, you know, uplifting culture. There's a value to pushing culture forward. So we worked very hard and, you know, there was a period of time that we didn't think that we would be able to come back to New York because we just could not afford
right.
the free model. I mean, we do have some corporate sponsorship, but, you know, sponsorship is, for people of color, it is not the same as, you know, the U.S. Open, as an
right.
example, that, you know, American Express will, you know, give millions of dollars to. So the audience, you know, is not as valued.
Yeah.
So we have to, you know, the answer to that is that we have to charge in order to sustain it, in order to pay the artists, in
right.
order to have, you know, a platform, in order to, you know, have a company, in order to, you know, have Grace Jones. I mean, Grace Jones doesn't, you know, volunteer her time. She
right.
she has a staff of people that she travels with, and it takes an airplane to get her in. And, you know, she likes to eat and drink.
Yes,
and
yes.
So you have to, you know, you have to pay for that.
You got to feed Grace now. And I'm sure,
we have
yes.
to feed Grace, and we have to feed Cake the Killer, and we have to feed Oshun.
Yes.
You know, and we have to feed
Gary Clark
you know,
Jr.
We have to support our culture. You know, it's important. Right. There was a lot of controversy around charging online, and it just baffled me. You know, it was a $75 ticket to see Grace Jones and Lenny Kravitz.
And many others.
And 60 other artists.
Right.
It's basically $1.04 an artist.
Wow, you broke it down like that.
Yeah. Would you pay a dollar to see Grace? Like, come on. It's crazy to me. So...
You know, and I totally agree. As someone who also produces events, not on the scale of you guys, but I totally got it, you know. And I think that what people have to remember is that when we say we support something, we can't just show up and think that that's enough. We have to sometimes put our wallets where our mouths are. You know, we have to... sometimes support with a little more than just showing up. And
let me say something. Yeah.
And I got it.
I mean, if we support, we are nurturing and working with, you know, young people in teaching them production and vendors of color.
Right.
And, you know, we have almost 100 vendors in our spendthrift market, people, craft people. Those are all people of color that we are supporting.
That's right.
You know, we are, you know, the restaurants, the production folks, the caterer, the guys that drive the artists around, that, you know, the tenting people, all of that. You know, those are dollars that we need to keep in our community, circulate in our community. That's where, you know, real power comes from.
So you're doing Black August for real.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is Black August in August in
Black,
New York.
Yeah, it Black really August, is. Black excellence.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
wow.
You don't get that by not supporting. That is to me the most radical thing that you can do is to support with your dollars, and you know we don't think about things in that way. You know, when I walk into a store and I see a salesperson. And I know that salesperson is going to be getting a commission.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, am I putting my dollars back in a Black person's pocket? That's what I think about.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, for me, that's Afropunk.
Exactly. You know? Now that is Afropunk.
We'll be back with more of our interview with Jocelyn Cooper of Afropunk, and this is On Air with the Blacks on WBAI 99.5 FM New York, and we're streaming on WBAI.org today and also next week. Make sure to tune in for episode 2 of On Air with the Blacks.
Me off and say
to ask you about the decision to do at the Afropunk in New York a trans rally.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Matthew, I think, had read a piece online about how many trans women had been murdered
yes.
this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really, really moved him. And he was like, we have to do something. We have to, this, we need on our platform to push this out to our community. And, you know, and, you know, from the time that James and, you know, Matthew, you know, started Afropunk, the platform has always supported the queer community
yes.
or the LGBTQ community, and trans folks have already, and you know, our editor in chief is a gay man who
yes.
lives in Paris.
Shout out to
always,
Lou. Shout out to Lou.
Shout out to Lulu. Lucy D. Sorry. It's his professional name. But, you know, we have always covered and featured and supported the trans community on Afropunk.com.
Yes.
But Matthew, you know, wanted to help those folks make a bigger statement and use the fact that we do generate a great deal of press at the festival, that there are, you know, tons of people that are covering, coming to cover the bigger artists and the fashion and all the great stuff that's at Afropunk, to use that platform and allow the Trans Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter folks use our platform to elevate, you know, their cause.
I thought that was brilliant. And I applaud you guys for that inclusion. Yeah, they're saying this year the murder of trans people is up like, is like historically, this is like the most murders ever this year.
Yeah.
And the year's not even over.
No. That's, I mean, we're not even, we're only, you know, it's horrible.
It's
horrible that in this society, you know, that we do not take care of all people.
That's right. All people. Who has been your favorite artist? Or rather, your favorite performance that you've witnessed at Afropunk in your years?
My personal favorite performance,
yes.
and I probably shouldn't say this, is Cake the Killer.
Wow!
I love Cake. I love, love, love Cake. And I love D'Angelo because, you know, that's my boo-boo.
Yes.
But, really, Cake. Cake turns it out every time for me. He is my... just my favorite. He brings an energy to the festival
yes.
that, you know, he changes. He shifts the room for me. And that he out of all the performances that I have seen at the festival has been my favorite.
This last one at the Fancy Dress Ball? Was that the one?
Okay, so this is the truth.
Okay.
I missed that one.
Okay.
Because I am backstage running around and doing what we do at the festival.
Of course.
But so I missed that performance, but
okay.
he's performed in the past. So anytime I see him, it's very exciting to me.
Yeah, I heard.
But I heard he was amazing.
That's what I heard. I heard he brought out a bunch of ogres and it was craziness. So, okay. So Cake's the Killer. Okay. So who was the least favorite?
I don't have a least favorite.
I was trying to get you in the corner there, but that's all right. No. Who is your dream artist to have at the festival? Like that you haven't had before? Who's the one you
my
really
dream
want
artist?
To have? Yeah.
Oh, I have a couple.
Okay.
So first, Charmé. I don't know if you know who Charmé is.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes, yes.
That is my absolute dream artist to have at the festival.
Yes.
Love to have Prince.
Yeah, he's on my list for you guys, too.
He's on my list. But, you know, with Prince, let me tell you something. People complain about paying for a ticket to see Grace Jones and Lenny Kravitz. We have to work. We have to work up to that one, honey.
Okay. I understand. Maybe you can start out with the return of Vanity 6 or something like that.
Okay. And I'll then make lead that up suggestion. To. Yeah. I'll make that suggestion. But to have Alabama Shake, there's some amazing folks that would, you know, that I would love to see perform at the festival. But definitely Stromae is my personal favorite.
I didn't even think about him. That's, I'd be front row center there.
Have you ever seen him?
No, only online. Only
best
online.
Best show ever.
Really?
Best show ever. Went to see him a couple months ago. His first show in New York.
Yeah.
And it's the best show I've seen in 10 years. The best.
Wow. And that's saying
a
lot.
He's amazing. He's Michael Jackson amazing.
Wow. Okay,
yeah,
you said that.
Dude.
I'm going to let, okay.
I'm telling you right now, he's Michael Jackson amazing.
That's crazy. Okay. When he comes back, I'm going. So then you've already started. Have you already started booking for next year? Like, because I know this is a never-ending process.
It is a never-ending process, and I know, and he won't tell me because I've talked too much about it. Matthew has already started booking the festival, and he won't tell me who.
He won't.
But he won't. I mean, okay. I make my suggestions and
okay.
I sort of sprinkle a fairy dust on some of what he does.
Okay.
But, you know, he comes up with essentially a theme and a feeling around, you know, what he wants the festival to translate to. And then he also listens to the community online and what they're thinking about and talking about and who excites them. And he puts it together like a puzzle. It's actually amazing to watch. Because Matthew is, in my opinion, a master curator and has amazing taste. So,
yeah, I would agree.
And, you know, for all of the young bands and young folks that are listening and that want to perform at the festival, the best way to be a part of Afropunk and the festival is to be a part of Afropunk Battle of the Bands. And we start looking at those folks, and that goes up online in March. This year we did New York, Philly, and Atlanta, and we're going to add Paris to the mix.
What makes an Afropunk?
Oh, well, I think what makes an Afropunk is the right state of mind. You know, the idea of thinking outside the box, of, you know, the desire to be free, the desire to express yourself, the desire to push forward. That's what makes an Afropunk to me.
And on that note, I want to thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you, man, child. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me. Greatly appreciate you. Love you.
And, we love you, too.
And I'll be listening.
Yes. And give my best to Matthew and the whole staff of AP. And have a blast in the ATL.
Thank you so much.
Everyone, make sure you check
you
out.
Come down. Hey, there are a bunch of New Yorkers coming. You should come.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna we might have to make that happen.
Come on, it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be crazy.
Yep.
I know it is. And I want to tell everybody to make sure you log on to Afropunk.com. There's a serious community there that you need to be a part of. And again, Afropunk Festival in Atlanta, October 3rd and 4th.
October 3rd and 4th, and you can get tickets on AfropunkFest.com.
There you go. There you go. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Take care, man, child.
Take care, lady.
Bye-bye.
And this is On Air with the Blacks, and Monster and I have decided that this week's side eye goes to... Now I can't get it out. Roland Emmerich for the whitewashing of the Stonewall film.
Side eye.
So congratulations, Roland. You got our first ever side eye on WBAI 99.5 FM. And right now, in the studio with us, we would like to bring to you a segment that we call... Ooh, that's hot. And for Ooh, That's Hot, we present to you an artist that we think you should know about, a singer, a songwriter, a musician, or whoever. But right now we have here in the studio to sing her single, September Song, the lovely, the talented Karma Mayette Johnson, accompanied on guitar by Maritri Garrett. Take it away, y'all.
September song, falling out of the rain, falling down like love. September song, falling out of the rain, falling down like love. Run down my way, luck and reason to share, falling down like love. Like the wind and tremble of those 2 weeks in Berlin, now we got these 2 weeks to begin, like love. Hey, September song, falling out of the rain, falling down like love. September song, falling out of the rain, falling down like love. So I just let it wash me away. 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 Shell falling down like love, like the wind and tremble of those 2 weeks in Berlin. Now we got these 2 weeks to begin, like love. Hey, hey, September sound, falling out of the rain, falling down like love. September song, falling out of the rain, falling down like love. So I just let it wash me away. I just let it wash me away. I just let it wash, wash me away. I just let it wash me away.
That was beautiful.
It was phenomenal.
I feel nice and washed. Thank you, Karma Mayette Johnson.
Definitely washed.
The applause for that one.
Smooth
and
like
Maritri
honey.
Garrett. That was dope. Karma, where can we find out more about you?
Well, this is karma.net is the best bet.
Go pop on there. And when you get on, you click on the right hand on the top. Is a little envelope for me to send you the mail.
Yes.
Yes. Do it. Do it, y'all. Do you have a show coming up?
I do. I'll be traveling to Philadelphia. Very honored to be a part of the cast of The Parable of the Sower opera version, which is based upon Octavia Butler's amazing novel. It's a great thing to be included in that number of brilliant artists who are part of that piece that's created by Toshi Regan and her mother, Dr. Bernice Johnson Regan.
Nice.
And we will be at the Annenberg Center at the University of Pennsylvania in Philly. Philly folks, hope to see you. Please come out. October 1, 2, and 3.
Dope. Again, yeah, everybody, dope. That's Karma Mayette Johnson. Her single is September Song, which is appropriate because we're in the month of September.
It's almost over.
And also, we got to give it up to Maritri Garrett for coming in and playing and doing a little something with Karma. We love you, both.
We love you both.
Thank you so much, Maritri. Can I just say?
Yay. Sure.
I'm really happy to be here with the blacks, on air with the blacks. And I just wanted to take a second because, hello, I'm patting myself on the shoulder for you in Radio Land who can't see me. Because I am actually the individual who dubbed these two the illustrious blacks.
That is
my residuals.
Really true.
Where my royalties? Where my royalties?
It's all Karma's fault.
This is true.
It's true.
And ironically, you're our first musical guest on the show. So that's
full circle.
A full circle moment.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we have come to just about the end of our first ever episode
of very first one
on Air with the Blacks on WBAI 99.5 FM. Next week, we are going to be returning same time, same place. So that's next Wednesday, the 30th, September 30th, from 2 to 3 p.m. And we'll have Imani Henry, who is an activist of an organization called Before It's Gone, which is about anti-gentrification. And also Adaku Uta about Uta.
Adaku
Did I just
Uta.
Mess up the name on live on air?
You worked it out.
I worked it out.
You got it.
Adaku. Shout out to Adaku Uta of Harriet's Apothecary. And then we're going to have a musical guest, Stephen Anthony Beasley, blessing us with his vocals.
Yes.
So make sure you tune in next week for that. But until then, in the meantime,
in between time,
live the hype life.